We're discussing a baptismal service. So if you have not been baptized, if you've trusted in the Lord and you would like to be baptized, please speak to me or one of the other people on the board or somebody. Tell somebody. And it's not set up. There's nothing done in concrete, but we're talking about it and we're going to make some arrangements. So if you haven't been and would like to be, do talk to us. And by the way, that when we say baptism here, we mean not going to do something all the way with it. And I would also like to say thank you all for coming, because the Bible does teach that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently. Stay right after it. Diligently seek Him. So thank you for coming and being part of those people who are diligently seeking the Lord. Now, I'm just going to read this one verse. There's a couple other verses probably I'll read. But Psalm 116, verse 12. This whole psalm is David is talking about how God delivered him and how he was, you know, if you read it and you know the story of David, it's about how he was backed into the corner on different occasions. And, you know, King Saul tried to kill him a few times and all this kind of stuff. And God delivered him and was very faithful, and he trusted. He calls the gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. And he talks about how good God was to him through all this kind of falderall that was going on in his life. So he comes to verse 12, and this is what he says. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? What will I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? We all have had God bless us in so many different ways. What can we render? That means hand over to the Lord, because God has blessed me. And that's an interesting question. What he was actually saying is, what do you give to a God who has everything? And we mean this literally. God has everything. What can you give to a God who has everything? And that was David's basic question. Verse 17 in that same psalm, he comes up with this. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, back in the day when David was running around, he meant that quite literally. He would take a literal sacrifice and he would take it to where the Ark of the Covenant was and he would make a sacrifice. Now, to make this apply to our life, we need to understand the word sacrifice in the Hebrew was carbon. Carbon sounds French, doesn't it? Carbon. But the word carbon, corbon, if you read it in the New Testament Greek translation, corbon is the word sacrifice. And that word corbon is rooted in, the root word for corbon is korab. Korab. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But it's right there. That is where the korban comes from, is the korab. And the root word means close. Close. The whole point of the sacrifice, and a lot of people have this mistaken idea, that the Hebrews didn't truly understand our God, so they were making sacrifices because the other surrounding heathen was making sacrifices to their idols, and they thought when they sacrificed to their God, that that God was consuming the spirit of the animal. They got to eat the body, and God got to eat the spirit of the animal. But that's not David's idea. David's idea isn't, we're feeding God. His idea wasn't, I'm going to give a sacrifice, and that's going to impress God. We're back to, what do you give a God who has everything? You can't impress Him. He called everything into existence. That was the first verse we talked about, Psalm 33, verse 4. He spoke and there it was. You can't impress God. You're not feeding God because God's not hungry. But He says, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice at that time was a way of opening up a path to have a closeness to God. To have a closeness to God. He's saying, God, I'm going to do this so I can be close to you. You are awesome. And I want to be there close to you. Why would that matter to God, a closeness relationship? Think about it this way. Our Almighty God, in eternity past, was alone. All eternity past, He was alone. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for all eternity past, they are God, and they were alone. So, what God is doing now is this. God is wanting to set up a situation where He will spend eternity future, not with God, but with loved ones, people He loves, and people who love Him. He wants to spend the future, all of the future, with people that He cares about. He wants to spend the future with people who trust Him, goldfish, with people who trust Him and what He says, and He wants to spend the future with people He can trust. That's why He said, go out into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say go out and make believers. Go out and make disciples. People who say, I am committed to this God. I am committed to His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm committed to that sacrifice He made. I trust Him and what He will do. I trust that He is my fortress. I trust that He is my refuge. I trust that He will protect me. And like David said, He was faithful in all these things. Through all the problems David had, God was faithful in all of that to him. And he said, God, the best I can do is make this sacrifice so that I can have an open pathway of being close to you. We have Jesus Christ now. And it says by the veil being rent, it means tore apart, by that veil being torn apart. When He died on the cross, we all know that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Meaning, God's the one that did it. He started at the top and He ripped it open this way. It doesn't mean that it was man pulled it apart himself so we would have access. And just so you know, it would be a very difficult thing for a person to grab it and tear it. The veil itself in the temple, according to the understanding we have with Josephus and the Talmud and the other writings, is it was 6 inches thick. Solid 6 inches thick. So it would have been tough to have grabbed it and torn this thing open. And yet it says that it was torn open from top to bottom. In Hebrews it talks about the body of Christ being torn. His body was the veil through which was rent, was torn, so we could have access to God. He made the perfect sacrifice so that He could have, so that we could have an access, a closeness to God. God at this time then, with the disciples, with the people who are diligently seeking God, what He's causing us to learn and come to an awareness of is that we can trust Him. A lot of us say, yeah, I love Him, but we don't trust Him. But He's saying, I want you to come to an understanding of you can trust me also. We're going to spend all eternity in the future together, and I want a people that I love, that love me, and people that trust me, and I want a people that I can trust. And so He's teaching, guiding, setting this all up. In the Old Testament, well, there's a reference in the New, actually, that says all of the Old Testament was given so that we could learn, so that we could understand. The New Testament people could go back and understand what was going on, and we wouldn't make their mistakes. That we would grow and, you know, and not fall into the same traps continually, but instead we would read the Old Testament, and while the Old Testament's not something that applies to us because we're under the blood of the New Testament, He says, there's that Old Testament. You read it and understand what was going on so that you won't be stumbling around making the same mistakes. They made mistakes back there, and that's why they kept going around that mountain. For 40 years, they kept going around that mountain. And God said, you people aren't going to get in. You stumbled so bad. That generation will not make it because, one, they didn't trust me. So the second generation, finally makes it in. They come to the Jericho and they conquer the city of Jericho. But this all starts off with Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And I'd like to read that one verse, Exodus 13, verse 17. And this is an example of God starting to try to teach people to trust Him. 13:17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land to the Philistines or of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, that's been a question that people ask. Well, it was only 3 days out. Those people just couldn't trust God. He could have took them the short way. But He was wanting to teach the people to trust Him. And a lot of people say, I don't understand that. 3 days march. And what's He talking about? They had to go in and conquer the land anyway. What most people don't realize is that road or that That road that led from Egypt 3 days up into the Promised Land was a fortified road with cities. The Egyptians had forts all the way up that road. The Philistines had forts up that road. And so here comes these Jewish people, newly released, and they would have had to have fought just like every 20 miles they'd had a battle. 20 miles, another battle. 20 miles, another battle. And granted, God is with them and they could have won. But it definitely would have wore them out. Now, here's an aside. I know a guy about yay tall. He got in fisticuffs with somebody. And the other guy whipped him. Soundly. And the guy got up. That got whipped. And he looked at him and he said, you might have beat me. But the next time you see me, I'm going to jump on you again. You might beat me again. But I want you to know, after that, the next time I see you, I'm going to jump on you again. And you might beat me from then on, but every time you see me, I want you to know there's a fight. And the big guy backed down. Okay, it's over with. We'll not do this again. Granted, but the little guy said, because I know him, he said, I was not looking forward to that, and if that guy had just continually whipped me every time, he would have called my bluff and I would have gave up. But he had this determined look on his face. And granted, these people could have been the smaller group and not had the fortified city. And time again, after a while, God said they would have got tired. They wouldn't have liked this whole war idea. And they would have turned around and went back to Egypt. So God said, I'm not taking them that way. But just to understand something a little better, what I read, it said, Pharaoh, let the people go. That is not what it says in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it said, Pharaoh, when he sent the people away. He didn't just let them go. He sent them away. He said, listen, we've had enough of you. Plague after plague after. This is it. It's over with. Get out. We don't want you in our land. We don't want you among us. Get out. Basically say, you leave. There's no coming back. Get out. Leave. So both ways the doors was being shut by God so that they would have to learn to trust in Him. I don't want them to go to war, take the shortcut. You'd think, well, take a shortcut to the shortcut and get there really quick. But God said, uh-uh. And by the way, Pharaoh threw you out. Pharaoh drove you out. Pharaoh does not want you there because he doesn't like your presence because you guys have been a thorn in his side because I'm your God. Now, it says in verse 17, if I haven't read it, and when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land, the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said the people might change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. So God, trying to teach them to trust Him, to love Him, He started leading them down. He took them down into the Mount Sinai where they ended up with the Ten Commandments. And on that way, He fed them. He watered them. He protected them. He spoke to them. And sometimes, and this is the thing we're supposed to take away from it, the long way is the right way. A lot of times we'll say, I want to go from here to there. And God says, you're not going to take a short trip. You're going to have to take a longer trip because I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn to love me. I want you to know that I'm here for you constantly. And I don't want to just go straight there because I'm trying to build this relationship. And in the Old Testament, more than one occasion, somebody has pushed the people of God out. Pharaoh sent them away. Lot and his family were dragged out of Sodom and Gomorrah, pulled out of the city by an angel. You can read that. Grabbed and pulled out. Noah was shipped out. Abraham was moved out. And us Christians were called out. That's a lot better than being drug out or being shipped out or driven out. He calls us out. He's saying to us, I want you to walk in my ways. I want you to trust me, even though it doesn't seem, the direct path. We can get right there, God, if you'll just do it. We can just go that way. I've got this all straightened out. I took math classes, geometry classes. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And God said, might be the shortest distance, but we're going to go way over here because there's more important things than short distances. He's called us out and he's saying, come, trust me, follow me. We're not to make their mistakes. Make our own mistakes. I'm pretty good at making my own mistakes. So read those so I don't make those mistakes and then move along and walk and trust in God. Now, this whole idea of being called out is a prophecy. Remember we talked about prophecy. Prophecy is proclaiming the word of God. And we are to have a prophetic faith, which means we hear the word of God and we say, I believe that. I trust that. God has led in this direction, and even though I don't know exactly how I'm going to get to the promised land, which just seems to be right over there, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to prophetically walk in faith, because the Word of God says to trust God, and I'm going to follow Him and trust Him to get me to where I'm supposed to be. That is walking in prophetic faith. Now, Miriam, by the way, ladies, congratulations, Miriam, did something that I think is truly amazing. Chapter 15, verse 20. Chapter 15, verse 20. It says, Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. So here they are. They cross the Red Sea at this point. On dry land, the waters covered up Pharaoh's army and they all drowned. They get to the other side. Pharaoh's people have been drowned. And they get over there and it says, Moses and the men made up a song and started singing. Okay, sounds good. And there's this lengthy little song there that the guys sang. But Miriam broke out the timbrels. Miriam walked by faith and not by sight. Miriam had already been dealt with by God. Whenever Moses was born, she put him in the river. She's the one that took him to the river and prayed and watched God deliver Moses right into Pharaoh's hands. But with a daughter who said, that's going to be my kid, she steps out and said, you're going to have somebody to wet nurse that child. She said, do you know anybody? Well, I just happen to know somebody. And goes to Moses' mom and says, Mom, it's all set up. Moses is in the catbird seat. Moses is in the sweet spot. He's going to be raised in the court of Pharaoh himself. And so Miriam had seen the faithfulness of God already and had already come to the place where she trusted in God. And so Miriam and the ladies trusted God. And when they were preparing to walk out of the promised land, they said, let's pack the musical instruments. We're going to get to the other side and we're going to have a celebration over there. The men just went over and then made a song up after the fact, seeing is believing, and they saw it and they believed it and they sang about the greatness of God. These ladies came prepared and said, God will deliver us, is our understanding. They had become somehow aware enough to pack some musical instruments, so that when they got to the other side, they were prepared to celebrate before God. They had the future in their hand by faith, and they were walking by prophetic faith. So I guess the question is this. Are we going to be seeing as believing? Or are we going to say, believing is seeing? Now, a lot of people will exploit that and say, well, all you've got to do is just believe something and it will come to pass. Believing is seeing. But that idea only applies if it's the Word of God. If God tells you this is the way it is, believe it and you will see it. I could say, I believe a unicorn is going to walk through that door. 3, 2, 1. Believing is not seeing unless it's based on the Word of God. How many of you thought I had it rigged up so a unicorn would come through that door? Hadn't thought about that one. But the whole point of this, remember, we started off with, what do we give a God who's got everything? He wants closeness. He wants the people who trust Him and people that He can trust. He wants people who love Him and people that He can love. He wants us. He wants us to be more like Miriam and the ladies. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Let's pack our musical instruments and be prepared because it will happen. I don't know how, don't know when, but it will happen. All those people who believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. I don't understand all the details. It's not required that you understand all the details. What is required is that you trust in Jesus Christ. So I'd like to give you a chance to think about that. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. And it's really an easy thing to do. You just say, from now on, I trust in you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for wiping that out. Now lead me and guide me and direct me. And teach me your ways, O Lord. I want to be part of that victorious group that will go to heaven and be there with you in eternity future with a closeness to the Lord God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. We are to be a seeking people, seeking a closeness to God in relationship. Start it off. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Be a seeker after God. Be a seeker who is trying to become closer to God. Because that's really all you can give a God who's got everything is your fellowship, your time, and your desire to be with Him and walk with Him. Thank you for listening. Now, as a part of this, and the next step is, He said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is the blood of the covenant. This is a way of us coming to understand that the Lord Jesus died for us, His body was broken, His blood was shed, and promises were made. So we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper at this time. If the elders would come forward, please.